I'm Duncan MacLeod, and this is Tech Central's business technology show, TCS Plus. The show is brought to you today by Pinnacle. And I'm pleased to welcome back into the Tech Central studio today, Tim Humphries-Davies, for a discussion on what is clearly the tech topic of 2024, artificial intelligence. Tim, of course, is Chief Executive of Pinnacle. Great. It's great to see you again, Tim. Welcome to the studio.
Thank you, Duncan. Nice to see you again, too.
So AI, it's on everyone's lips at the moment, and of course all the big developer conferences are happening in the US at the moment. I think the only one we're waiting for now is Apple. Microsoft has recently concluded, and Google, of course, recently concluded I/O, where it was just wall-to-wall AI. There's a lot of excitement in the industry, a lot of excitement amongst corporates about the potential for AI. But tell me how Pinnacle, first of all, is adopting this technology internally. What are you guys using it for?
So In Pinnacle, there's a two-case model, which I think is the case for everybody. You know, you've got your internal use model, and then obviously you want to try and harness and monetize the opportunity that we see. We're an NVIDIA distributor, so we're at the forefront. And obviously they're driving a lot of the AI conversations, and they've certainly monetized it. So that's our starting point. And of course, NVIDIA is a sort of cross-platform technology. It doesn't, you know, restrict itself to its own manufactured GTX GPUs and what have you. It's also very prevalent and works very closely with Supermicro, Dell, HPE. So we're seeing a lot of activity in that space. Internally, we've divided it up into sort of six use cases depending upon the department's marketing, for example, or procurement and stock, you know, using algorithms and you know, we've been doing that for a while. So in terms of internal use case, I think this is the challenge that a lot of people have. It's trying to get a common thread, trying to collaborate across departments, because what finance might want and what operations might want and what marketing might want might be a different type of application. We've been using it for a while in marketing, obviously compilation of presentations and reports. As I say, procurement and brand management, it's pretty self-explanatory. And then we're trying to take, we've sort of got this philosophy that if we've got a need for it, then obviously the market's got a need for it. I think we're, like everybody, we understand the sort of very entry-level kind of applications of it. But how you get what you can see, the possibility of actually getting into the reality of running it, is the is the challenge.
Yeah.
And I think from a commercial point of view, that's what we're trying to do, is to really monetize that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. How do you measure it? I mean, specifically the return on investment and also the productivity gains that you might see from deploying these sort of technologies. Was it too early to really know to measure these sort of things, or?
I think you mentioned earlier that people are expecting a bounce in productivity, and I think, you know, on a services level, you know, the tertiary side of the economy in services, finance, you know, what we're in, I think you'll see that immediately in terms of office automation. I think the key takeaway for me, and I'm not an expert, but you know, it's the automation of the banal repetitive tasks. Yeah. And I think Copilot does that.
Like making PowerPoint slides or helping with writing email.
Writing an email still needs that overview perspective, you know, but it does the repetitive tasks, summation, which Microsoft's had for a while, you know, with that, was it Microsoft Vista, you know, prompted you on your day and reminded you. And that's the same, you know, so a reminder functionality and all of the benefits that Copilot brings in terms of collaborating across Office 365 and other applications into a single source. So you can automate from a single source of information, which I think is critical. Mm-hmm. So are we seeing productivity increase? Yes. We put Copilot into our business 3-4 months ago, working very closely with Microsoft. So yes, we're seeing productivity. On the more primary and secondary levels of an economy, you know, in manufacturing, for example, or logistics or something like that, we're not seeing that efficiency. Mm-hmm. But if you take logistics like route mapping, to plan your deliveries. I mean, one of our complexities is planning deliveries on a daily basis with all the variables of load shedding and potholes and things like that. So I think that's, I mean, we've been, you know, Google Maps is a form of AI, I suppose, if you could call it, but the enhancements are there. So I see a lot of upcoming automation in, I mean, efficiency or productivity improvement in things like some of the more basic functions of running a business.
What sort of feedback have you got from employees who've been using the technology so far?
It's mixed. Mm-hmm. You know, we haven't done it. I can't give you an empirical number, but we put it in 60 people, our leadership team first. And I think people have got different use models, like marketing, love it.
Mm.
You know, and running, you know, trying to develop chat boxes on our e-commerce portal for our resellers, it's a no-brainer.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, using some of the tools that we use, Klaviyo and those kind of stuff, to communicate to multiple people, they love it. Marketing will rave about it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Finance, yes. Yeah. And we definitely see that. So if you use the whole Microsoft suite, and if you're really a big Teams user, which we are, then Copilot, the more you use it, the deeper you're into the Microsoft ecosystem. Mm-hmm. Obviously, the more benefit.
Vendor lock-in.
Yeah, yeah. There is an element of that, yeah. Productivity to sell AI solutions. I think, Duncan, too early to tell. We haven't been an early adopter. So if you look at the kind of global consultancy companies, Deloitte, PwC, they've become industry specific use case experts in the UK. We've spent a little bit of time talking to our vendors around that,
mm-hmm.
and those organisations are beginning to get capability. And in South Africa, I haven't really spoken to those two particular companies yet, but I think certainly from the vendor perspective, there's not a lot of capability quite yet in South Africa. So mm-hmm. NVIDIA's got a very strong incubation program and a specialized delivery partner program. And we're trying to work with those global partners to actually enable proper solutions in South Africa, because mm-hmm. I think you've got a bit of a skill set gap here. Mm-hmm. That's what we're seeing.
Mm, not surprising. I mean, what role do you see Pinnacle playing in the whole channel distribution environment? I mean, are you going to play a pivotal role in helping resellers learn about this technology and help service their clients better using it? What role do you see for distributors in AI?
I hope so, Duncan. So we've taken a slightly different view in this particular product area. So typically a distributor will, as you know, and your viewers will know, you know, a distributor, and there are five main ones, I suppose. They bring product in, enhance the supply chain, offer pre-sales, post-sales, stocking, finance facilities, and last-mile delivery. In some instances, particularly in our enterprise space, we've provided turnkey BOM solution, bill of material type solutions, and pre-sales consulting. Often it's limited to one particular area of an organization's need, like Hyperconverge, for example, with Nutanix. With AI, because it spans across different product sets, you've almost got to take a solution-driven view.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we doing? Because we've got NVIDIA and Supermicro, we're actually putting a team of almost consultants together, and I think that's the critical thing that we're going to be doing differently with AI. So pre-scoping a solution, taking best usage case models from overseas, using NVIDIA's programs to bring skill sets here, working with the reseller via the reseller and the end customer, and distributors don't often do that. So almost playing the role of a vendor,
mm-hmm.
working very closely with NVIDIA. NVIDIA is not just resin, you know, chips and compute like their GTX solutions. Mm-hmm. It's a software platform. And in that software platform, you've got industry-specific vertical solutions, like solutions that are using their kind of framework that are coded for those particular industries, like transportation, medical, and they've shown us best case models. So, for example, the medical manufacturers in this country, they're probably using it already. We haven't chatted to them, but if you run on the NVIDIA platform, you can use
that type of technology to help design new medicines, test predictability on side effects, production optimization, that kind of, I mean, the possibilities are endless. So I've actually seen different solutions per vertical. I mean, we spoke about transportation earlier. That's fairly simple in terms of optimization of route planning and what have you. So the idea that Pinnacle's got is we've got the hardware platform that we would normally sell to you, be it on a Supermicro, be it on a Dell compute, but layer that level of NVIDIA software and platform to actually sell a solution via the reseller to the end customer. And that would involve us, and we've actually built a team. We've got half the team already, and we're employing. So it's quite a big team to actually assist with the consultancy. So end customer says, I'm a CIO. I've got this. I'm reading AI everywhere. How do I apply it in my different departments? Okay. Well, which department do you want to deploy it in? Marketing. Okay. So you want to use Midjourney as you've got a big team of production. Okay, so what are you going to do with the data? What's your source of data? What's your budget? So project management to implementation. Via that, we can handhold a set of resellers and get them to the point of actually being able to do it without maybe a vendor or reseller distributor involvement. So almost like a common program for all four people are involved, end customer, reseller, ourselves, and the vendor.
This is really where the rubber's going to hit the road on AI, isn't it? Especially in a market like South Africa where there is a big skills gap. But just watching these developer keynotes that are happening at the moment, you get the impression that the pace of AI development is absolutely astonishing. The development that we've seen just in the last 12 months, I can't think of a time in the last 20, 30 years when technology was developing at this sort of pace. And I guess that means that there's potential here for the big vendors to run ahead with this technology, and the customers are left behind saying, how the heck am I going to implement all of this stuff? It's incredibly complicated. And that's where you guys come in.
Hopefully, yeah. I think, if I was a CIO of a medium to large organization, you almost want to carve it up and say, okay, so what's the quick and easy win? You referenced it earlier. Production at an end user compute level, productivity from a staff point of view, who are you using end user compute devices, laptops. So what's the critical, the easy path there is deploy Copilot. So you almost want to segment it and say, okay, at that level, that's a fairly simple, easy discussion. I think it's $30 a month per user. Not cheap, but probably worth it. But then, you've got to ask yourself the question is, are you AI compliant on the type of device? You got Windows 10 end of life support coming in, I think, just over 12 months. So that's going to be the question that most CIOs are going to have to ask themselves. And also in the SMB space, you've got a potential end of support. Well, it's not potential. It is going to, if you're on a Windows 10 platform, you're probably not AI ready. So then it's going to precipitate, okay, well, I need some money for the next 12 months to refresh. So it's already happening in more advanced markets. We're seeing a big bounce potentially coming in end user compute because it's been contracting. I think you and I have spoken about that before. Over the last four quarters, our sell-in into this country has contracted approximately 15%, way down on COVID levels and sort of on par with pre-COVID levels. In fact, a little bit lower. So what the US and Europe are seeing is that bounce, mainly driven because of the Windows 11, but also the AI refresh. Because I don't know if you've run it, but it's quite juicy. It needs proper compute.
Hardware.
Yeah, it needs proper compute. So that's probably the first area that most people are going to start. And then you've got to look at your data center. You've got to look at your compute in your data center. And, of course, you've got to look at the amount of storage that's going to require. So you're in data center switching, compute, how you're going to manage that, where you're going to back it up. So it almost precipitates a whole discussion around, is my data center ready for AI? If it is, happy days, good. but then it's, okay, which department is going to benefit most? If I'm in production, can I automate a lot of those mundane production tasks? If so, what's the best application?
A lot of the stuff is happening in the cloud at the moment, and I think that's just by nature of the fact that these NVIDIA chips that are powering a lot of this stuff are so high-end and so expensive that that utilizing the cloud is probably, for many companies, the only real affordable way of doing this right now. But that's probably going to change as the compute costs come down. And I guess that there's going to be a big discussion in companies about whether they want to deploy these AI solutions on premises or whether they want to do it in the cloud. And I suppose the whole conversation about privacy and confidential company information, which we've had for years around cloud computers, going to again come to the fore, especially since these AI models require so much information to function properly. Companies are going to have to be uploading a lot of their data into these AI models. And I suppose questions are going to start to arise about, well, do we want all of the sensitive company information to sit on a cloud service, or do we want to develop these AI models internally in our own data centers? I suppose that conversation is really going to determine the extent of spending on one or the other in the coming years.
So I think that conversation is more of a CapEx, OpEx, which is the conversation that's been happening, cloud versus on-prem. I think the current thinking in some areas, not all, is compute at the edge. And I think, you know, AI requires that. The speed, the latency, particularly, you know, we've seen some interruptions to some of our global connectivity recently.
Yes.
And I think that precipitates the discussion, you know, do I want to be reliant on, you know, an AWS or an Azure data center offshore? Or do I want to scale and use a local hyperscaler here? Or do I want to host in a Teraco? Or do I want to be on-prem?
It's a complicated question to answer.
And a lot of people have that hybrid view. I'll take one application, critical application, ERP, and I'll host it on-site or at Teraco. I'll have a hybrid backup solution in the cloud, but then I need a juicy box to run my AI algorithms and my big, you know, big language learning models and all that kind of stuff. So I'll put that on-prem maybe. And that's – so NVIDIA's share price is what it is, because their revenue has just gone through the stratosphere because they're putting big solutions. I mean, most of their business has gone into the hyperscalers. So obviously there's going to be – their view is that they've got to get that into our type of customer, you know, at the edge or on-prem. And I think a lot of CIOs or a lot of people in South Africa have found – particularly when those compute cloud costs are linked to an exchange rate, it's a bit variable and that's starting to get quite expensive. So maybe the decision is, you know, some people are going to have different needs. So I think every company is going to be different, but maybe the decision is to buy and host on-prem or in data center.
A lot of the basic AI tasks are actually going to be handled on device, I think, going forward, because there's a big focus on MPUs or neural processing units. Yeah. Apple has another term for them. I forget what they call them. But MPUs, co-processors effectively for processing AI tasks. And Microsoft has announced Copilot plus PCs just in the last few days. And it's clear that Microsoft is expecting a big refresh in the PC market. You spoke about the 15% decline in PC sales here in South Africa. Are you expecting this to lead to a big boost in PC sales, particularly by businesses?
Yeah, definitely. Microsoft is as well locally. I think us and other distributors and other vendors are working very closely with Microsoft. I mean, the Microsoft team here is very proactive with that regard and showing and doing a lot of education in the end user space to educate business on the usage models. And I think you're going to start seeing it, Duncan. Yeah, there's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And when government sees it as well, I think it's going to be big. I really do, yeah.
Apple, of course, calls it a neural engine.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Neural engine as opposed to an MPU.
A neural engine, yeah. It's definitely a neural engine, yeah.
So do you see this AI having an outsized impact on specific industries first, or do you think the benefits are going to be felt across the board here in South Africa?
Look, I think the FSI, financial services industry, is there already. I mean, they've been running compliance models for a very long time, fraud detection, you know, financial, quite sure what you call it, trafficking, you know, illegal use of funds.
Money laundering.
Yeah, money laundering, that's it. Yeah, they've been doing that for years. Another business in the Alviva group, Merlin, has been around for quite a while. Yeah, I think you might have spoken to Pierre about that. Yeah. Yes. So that Merlin have been running that model. They had their model was I can't remember the name of it. Todd. No, it wasn't Todd. They called it something. Yeah. So they've been running that for years. So I think financial services are going to be the early adopters. I really do, because their use case, their risk is a lot greater if you don't. Mm-hmm. Credit checks, laundering, building the predictability, deposits, that kind of stuff. And then a subset of that, life insurance. I mean, a lot of those, you know, actuarial-based models are all on algorithms already. Mm. And as AI is improving those algorithms and improving the, you know, the GUI, the graphical user, the way you interact with it, it's not a big risk, but, you know, AS400 process. it's user-friendly. You know, I think the insurance short-term, and not short-term, well, both short-term, but long-term life insurance industry is going to, probably already has.
Yeah.
I'm sure it has. I'm sure Sanlam and Mutual and...
There probably have models around this already that Discovery. They can just add layers of AI on top of just to make it better.
Correct.
Better.
Yeah. When you think about the medical insurance industry, so those, you know, obviously the big financial service, Discovery, ABSA, FNB, Standard, Nedbank, Capitec, they're all wall-to-wall, I think, probably with it already. The trick is whether you use, and you know, I don't know, I told you this, Duncan, but 54% of all AI projects fail. That's a stat from NVIDIA. Because some people decide to try and custom write it themselves. Some people use the wrong platform. Some people are not quite sure of what their outcomes are. You know, standard kind of, like, it's like installing an ERP solution. I think, you know, a lot of us are familiar with that. So I think the consultancy side of AI is going to be critical. Proof of concepts are going to be critical. And historic best use case models or industries. We've done it in the US. We've done it here. That's why bringing those skill sets is something, and partnering with offshore-based companies is Pinnacle's view. Why, we don't want to reinvent the wheel. Let's try and go to a Capitec with the partner and say, this is what worked for Chase Manhattan. Have a look at it and then run a POC. That's how I think it's going to happen. I may be wrong. I'm not, certainly not an expert. There are many more people who have done much more of it. What we've got as Pinnacle is the NVIDIA platform. So if, and we're the exclusive distributor in Southern Africa. So it's up to us. And NVIDIA is obviously, they're fantastic as a vendor. I had a discussion with some senior guys on Monday. So, you know, it's not often you as a distributor actually say, how do you do this? You know,
yes.
Well, I just asked them, you know, what have been your learnings? Where should we go? And their comments to me was, don't go too wide, stay narrow. So pick the low-hanging fruit that is going to work, and FSI is one.
It's one of those,
I think so, I mean, to a degree, it's already happened.
You mentioned the skills deficit. There was an interesting article yesterday or the day before yesterday quoting the CEO of JP Morgan in the US saying that all new employees who are joining JP Morgan must be inducted in AI.
Yeah.
As a first principle, it's, you're going to have to have AI skills to work at this bank. Is that the sort of approach that you think might be needed here in South Africa to bridge the skills gap? And what are you doing internally to help, you know, empower your employees with these tools?
I think we're a bit behind. I can't speak for South Africa. I can only speak for Pinnacle. I think it's certainly going to be a question, have you used Copilot? You know, or if you're in a department, have you used various tools? So it's still so embryonic.
It's very early.
I wouldn't know what to ask a financial accountant. What, you know, I mean, you use Excel, you know, are you compliant on Power Pivot? You know, do you know how to build a pivot table? You know, if so, show me one. You know, are you proficient in SQL? And then, of course, you're right. The next question is, have you ever modeled, what data modeling have you run over AI? And there are a dime a dozen. I mean, again, I'm not an expert. So you know, funny enough, it's a very relevant question, and it's prompted me to think that we should be doing that. Are other organizations? Sure. I think, again, financial services, auditing firms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I guarantee you that the big ones, Deloitte, have already had that in place for a while. But your general sort of, well, I don't think there's a general office worker these days, but, you know, mm-hmm. your employee in brand, for example, somebody who's marketing, selling and modeling brand, and we have a lot of those people, sort of 70, 80 of them.
Mm-hmm.
They need to be Copilot compliant, and they need to be stock modeling and forecasting compliant on any number of applications. But they've got to be, certainly, they've got to be proficient.
I suppose half of it is just putting the stuff in people's hands and then empowering them and saying to them, well, here are these tools, see what you can do with them.
And that's the dilemma, mm-hmm. because now you're going to have five different...
Is risk.
Yeah, mm-hmm. five different applications running on a cube of data. You know, you got your big SQL database there. We run it in a cube. Mm-hmm. Now, are you going to let everyone access that?
Sounds like a nightmare for IT departments.
Yeah. Because, I mean, like we use, I think a lot of organizations do Power BI.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll probably stay in the Microsoft stack, honestly. You know, so then, you know, the next level of Power BI is an AI enhanced Power BI. And then you got one single AI application querying your data set.
Yeah. To what extent, I mean, it's an interesting question. To what extent should IT be trying to manage users and say, well, you can and can't do this with AI? Or should you actually be saying to your employees, well, here it is, go and do with it. But if you come up with something cool, just check with someone first.
So that's the big thing that we haven't discussed is what is the usage model?
Mm-hmm.
What are the ethical boundaries? What are the guidelines? Companies are going to have to very, very quickly put policies into play.
What's your thinking around it?
It's so complex and big. I mean, you know, if you look at what you can do with, you mentioned it earlier, some of the Midjourney.
Yeah.
You can faking.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so an employee could create, a graphic designer could create an AI-generated image of something that could be ethically, you know, unfound.
Get you into trouble, yeah.
Probably has done already. The ethics of, is it your homework or is it an AI homework?
Mm.
You know, so you've sent off an email to a customer or a supplier, and have you had someone check that? So before I came here, I read up a bit. There's another layer of AI. I think what's it called?
Mm-hmm.
So AI explainable. So it's an AI checking on the AI.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. So I think companies are going to have to move very quickly to put policies in place, and certainly we're going to have to move very quickly.
It's a brave new world, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. Mm-hmm. It's quite scary as well. So I think the US is already trying to put, you know, Congress is already speaking to the major players, trying to put a framework together, what's ethical, what's not ethical, you know, trying to decipher what's an AI generated image versus an actual real photo.
Mm-hmm.
I think celebrities are going to have a real problem.
Yeah.
Already having problems.
Voices are being cloned.
That kind of stuff. So. Yeah, I think the applications of it are in every single facet of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're going to have to govern that. How are you going to do that?
Mm. Yeah, so many questions that are unanswered at the stage. Yeah. Who knows, in a year's time, you might be here again talking to a robot instead of me.
I prefer not to be honest.
We'll see how good it is.
Yeah.
So let's look forward a bit. Where do you see the stuff going? How do you see Pinnacle using AI in a few years from now? I know it's a very difficult question to answer.
But. So we brought in an exec, actually, yeah. I mean, he starts on 1 July.
To look at the stuff?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you have to. And a senior person. So wearing two hats, to start that AI services, and we're bolting on quite a few other services in that division as well, because it sort of cross-pollinates other areas. If you're going to, you know, assist your reseller with an AI implementation, then you may as well rack and stack the GPU solution that you're selling. So that's number one. that individual is also being tasked with looking at our internal use model and best of breed for each department. It's going to be a departmental approach. Where do you see the future? This time next year, June 2025, I see each department having a usage model, hopefully company policy on each and every usage model. And I see Pinnacle offering a complete solution via a reseller base, skilling up resellers. We want to go keep it narrow, you know, 5 to 6 resellers maybe tops that will then be able to go vertical by vertical and offer best use case solutions. And that has to happen within the next 12 months. So we've set ourselves a goal because we're into a new fiscal from July. So we planned it and we brought on the team. We brought on half the team, and it's going to be quite a big team. We're betting on AI.
Fascinating. So how transformative is this stuff going to be in the long term, do you think? I mean, is this going to change the world?
I think it has already.
It has already. Yeah, but we're still in the early days.
Yeah, I mean, look at ChatGPT. I think I mentioned it earlier. ChatGPT has taken 18 months for the adoption of the number of users that it took the cellular industry 22 years to achieve.
Stunning.
So it's changed the world already. And it's that, you know, we thought cryptocurrency was going to change the world because it's just, you know, I think NVIDIA had a payday there and they've got a payday now again, which is why I think they're the third most valuable company on the planet.
Yeah, and their results are out tonight on the day we're recording, so they could jump again.
They could probably jump again, yeah. Well, I think I think the share price dropped a bit, 15% in the last bit, because they thought that there's no way those forecasts are going to be hit, but they seem to exceed the forecast. But there will be a point where the hyperscalers have bought
that. And then
maybe, I don't know. But I think NVIDIA trying to do what we're trying to do here, make it a common, you know, purchase, not just in a hypervisor, big data center, you know, reasonable size organization.
How do you ultimately measure the success of this stuff? And what metrics do you look at?
Well, revenue on NVIDIA and Supermicro and the compute and the storage, as I alluded to earlier. And the number of projects you've successfully completed, because it's a project by project.
So that's for Pinnacle.
That's for Pinnacle. How do you measure that in South Africa? I don't know, Duncan. I think
in terms of your employee productivity, can you measure that? Can you determine the actual productive impact this is having on your employees? It's a difficult one to measure.
It's a difficult one. Yeah. How effective is Copilot? Look, I mean, we do measure everything. I mean, we've got Freshdesk in our business that measures the response time on emails, queries. So I suppose if that SLA, if that measured SLA, service level, so we have a SLA in brand that you've got to go back to a customer within, say, 20 minutes. If you're using AI or Copilot to improve your productivity by just spitting out mundane tasks quicker, then surely that measurement will reflect that. So maybe we can measure it. And then staff surveys, I suppose you could ask, you know. And then Mimecast or whatever you're using will tell you how many emails you're getting out a day. So if you were last year pushing out 300 emails a day and you're pushing out 400 now, is email a reflection of productivity? Probably. Or just more people are mailing you. Less WhatsApps.
Not sure any productivity goes on in the email these days. But interesting times. Interesting times ahead, Tim. We must have a look at your new AI or have an interview, I think, with your AI head, because that must be one of the first appointments of that nature in South African business.
Could be.
I'm aware of.
I'm sure the banks have, I'm sure the CIOs have put like an
teams together.
That's the thing for us. That's what I looked at it. So if you look at your eight, whatever, how many execs you've got in the business, and he or she have got enough on their plate already. Now you pass that mantra of AI to them. They're all going to come up with a different approach. You need a quarterback, a conductor, to say, no. You must, no.
Otherwise it ends up being
chaos. And all the threads are going to unravel very quickly. So it's a bit of a gamble. But we've got a good business, so I think, yeah.
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 And if you don't, yeah, if you don't, yeah, mess around with the stuff, you won't see the productivity gains.
No, we won't. And I think with us being the NVIDIA distributor, we have to do justice to our vendor there.
Yeah.
You know, and I had, I had a chat with them this week, and I think they reaffirmed that we're taking the right approach.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Well, Tim. Good. Tim Humphries-Davies is Chief Executive of Pinnacle. Always good to chat to you, Tim.
Thank you, Duncan.
Thank you for your time.
Pleasure. Thank you very much. Thank you.